Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this Wednesday, May 31st edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. On this show today, we're going to be joined by Phil Davis, founder of Phil Stock World at 8:35. And before we get to Phil, we've got to talk about our movers of the day. Michael Kors, of course, had earnings, so we're going to talk about that. I want to alert you to a couple conferences as well today in the food and the consumer space. Those stocks may be moving off of those presentations, and a couple ratings to discuss as well. Maybe we'll preview HPE and talk about just the general state of the market. Joel, speaking of that, how's it going this morning in the S&Ps?
Things are back to normal. We're green, up 4.25 here. Held the open and the close, trading up at 24.15. Only one number on the upside. That's the all-time high, 24.17.75. That's only 2.75 points away. Market shrugging off oil being down this morning, $1.23 here. Just couldn't hold the close. Now trading in the lower 48 handle. Friday's low, 48.18. We're about 23 cents away from that. Gold and silver mixed this morning. You have gold up $1.60, 1267.30, and silver down 7 cents here. So the metals going in opposite directions. Dennis, how you doing on this Wednesday morning?
Just chilling here, chilling. What are you doing?
Doing a radio show here, trying to...
Oh, radio show. That sounds like fun.
Find the market movers here, and we were discussing a couple things. One was the financials, so we can maybe take a look at some of these stocks, and doesn't look like interest rates are going up, huh?
Yeah, you know, and actually, we had a conference call, Bright Trading yesterday. One of our traders gave a nice presentation. He's a former bond trader and was just talking about interest rates and the way the yield curve looks and just saying it looks like interest rates could potentially be going back down to the lows. He was looking at specifically, you know, the 10-year, saying that could eventually get down to the lows here too. And we know we had the big rally in the banks. We know we had the sell-off in some of the interest rate sensitive stuff, as we thought interest rates might go up 4 times in 2017. That does not appear to be the case here. Calling the Fed's bluff is this market, and obviously these financials are not benefiting if interest rates do not go up. Let's check out the chart of a couple of these financials. Joel, you were bringing up JP Morgan. The stock's getting near the lows of the year.
Lows of the year, hasn't participated in the most recent rally. It's been led by big tech here. Two ways you can look at this chart here. Either it's just a nice pullback, holding support from early in the year, not quite the low of the year, or you can look at it the other way, that this thing is leaning heavy and going to break down on that major support area. A lot of room on the downside here. Just kind of hanging out. Same thing with Goldman Sachs. You got a couple pops here, but just not holding the rally. Same with Bank America. But we'll find a new leader, right? We'll find someone else to pick up the slack.
One that's bucking the trend, and if you check out the charts here, it's very interesting, Citigroup. Citigroup has not sold off with the other financials there. And actually, if you look at Citigroup, it's within striking distance of its high of the year. 62.69 was the high just set just last week here. And if we look, stock is obviously trading only a point away from there, Joel. So Citigroup has been a source of strength for this market.
The $6.29 stock here.
When you consider the split, we still call it
right? Stock. Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with that. You had your high in the move just 3 days ago at 62.63. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and see if it's going to continue to be a leader here. Once again, you know, the price of this is so distorted because of the reverse split, because of what happened in the financial crisis.
Got to forget about the past, Joel. It's a $61 stock now.
Okay.
No longer a $6 stock, even though they did the 1-for-10 reverse split. We got to leave the past in the past and think about the future.
All right. And, the all-time high in Citigroup is 570 even. So if you're looking...
570 bucks. It's not as bad as dry ships, though.
Oh,
what's the all-time high in dry ships now? I got to know. What's the updated all-time high?
Let's see here. Oh boy, now I'm gonna have to go to my monthlies on this one to figure out the high and dry ships. I thought the
it's like
last,
$6 million, isn't it?
I mean, they're even.
Or did they revert? Or did they? It's already reversed.
Oh, it's different, and it's a quad top here. Are you ready for this? Oh,
give me the number. What's the all-time high dry ships?
To me.
Can you read that many digits?
I can't. You know what? This is.
Can you count that high?
It might be more. I can't even tell where the zeros are. I guess it's.
I think it's. Last time I looked, it was $6 million a share.
No, they did another reverse split. So I see a high here of $13 million. Or is that $130 million?
Maybe it's $130 million.
It is. It's $130 million, 603,000.
And 130 million, is that right? For real, 130 right, million.
Let me count the decimals here. One, two.
That's
three.
Too many. it's gonna be our first. There should be like a race. Like, when is dry ship's all time high going to be $1 billion?
Okay,
$1 billion a share.
Man, I got my specs on here too. Yeah, it is officially 13 million.
Oh, it's 13 million. Okay, yeah, he's got his glasses on now, folks.
All right. Let's. We got some retail.
Change the subject. Joel can't read numbers that high. $13 million nonsense. Let's do the earnings. We're 6 minutes into the show. Let's talk Coors, Michael Coors, retail reporting. Obviously, we're out of retail season, but we're still getting some stragglers here. And Michael Coors, a straggler here this morning, trading down 5%. A retailer disappoint, Spencer. Is this correct?
Yes. Believe it or not, that is correct. Q4 EPS for Michael Coors, 73 cents versus a 70 cent estimate. Sales of 1.06 billion versus 1.05. So, you know, fine Q4 there. As far as the Q1 guidance, though, they see Q1 EPS at 60 cents to 64 cents. 81 cents was the estimate, so they missed that by a bit. Sales of $910 to $930 million. 941 was the estimate, but that may not compare. They did pass through a new 52-week low about an hour ago. And the fiscal year guidance coming in lower as well for EPS and sales. They also expect to close about 100 to 125 full-price retail stores over the next 2 years.
Sounds like a typical retail report. Joel, thoughts, concerns here? This level, this 35 level that's been flirting with for 2 years here, we are below that right now. We need to reclaim that in a hurry. Can we reclaim it?
It's going to be resistance now. Look at the monthly charts here. Banging on 35 here. Now we've taken that out. Pre-market low is 33.16. Boy, oh boy, that takes you back to levels. You haven't been in the lower 30 handle. You need to go back all the way until February of 2012 when you had a 30.76 low. But I don't know, big spike down like that. Now you're kind of on the comeback trail. I expect to find buyers ahead of that pre-market low of 33.16. And Dennis, if you would have been quick there, just on that last bar, it did get above 35 there. That former support just ticked above it. I think that'll be a good level on the upside. 33.16 is your pre-market low.
Still digesting. 33.16 the low. That's a good number to note as well. 275,000 shares have already traded here, though. If it can get back up and hold that 35, it becomes interesting. But below that, it's very scary charts. So we'll see what it does in the regular session when all the real buyers and sellers come in here. Just quickly looking at some of the other retailers. It's been okay for the last few days. Like we've been talking, the retailers haven't been selling off, at least in the last couple of weeks. Macy's is finally starting to climb a little bit there. Nordstrom has come back from its lows when it shook out everybody below 40. It's back up to $42. Kohl's has come back off the lows as well. Some of these retailers have been slowly climbing back here, but still overall these things are in the doghouse.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of better places to put your money.
Yep.
Kohl's, though, has an interesting formation that traders should be aware of here. Triple top at 39.13.15 area. So keep an eye on that. A seller just above 39. And the recent low of the move, boy, we did dip into the 36 handle, 36.32. But keeping an eye on 39.15 in Kohl's.
Ace has been talking about the GPTC for the last couple of days here, just about the Bitcoin investment trust there. Obviously, this thing trades with an NAV quite a bit above where Bitcoin is, and that's, you know, an issue for me if I was to look at, you know, going into this thing. At one point in time, I was trading with a price about 60% higher than where it was, you know, than the actual NAV, so which is the net asset value of the trust. But he was just saying stock has went from 370. Actually, 2 weeks ago, he was saying it's 198 bucks. Got to 565 on Thursday when everybody had to get in Bitcoin. It's come off a little bit since then, 427. This thing is a wild child, though. And right now, the only real public way to be trading Bitcoin until we get a Bitcoin ETF.
Do you see the volume in this thing?
What's the volume like?
Ooh, scary. Traded 14,000 shares yesterday.
Doesn't trade much.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's hard, you know? Like, okay, so there's going to be some people coming in here who are maybe underperforming. That's the biggest issue I have with GBTC is it's trading above its net asset value and significantly above it. And, you know, your net asset value is just what is, you know, the holdings worth when you take them at market value. And when you're trading 50 or 60% above that, you're paying a hell of a premium to be able to get a little piece of the Bitcoin action. Maybe it'd be better to go open an account and actually buy the Bitcoins as opposed to be buying this thing that's trading above its NAV. I'm not sure where it trades today. The thing obviously moves around so much that it might not be that much above its NAV, but I know back on Thursday, I believe it was 60% above, somebody said. Now, no, Estraza says it's now 100%. It's now over 100% above NAV, so it's twice as much. So you're basically paying twice as much for your Bitcoins if you're buying this thing. Need to be informed. I won't be putting my money there.
Why would they allow this to trade and not for the Winklevosses to create an ETF?
Well, there's a point to be made there. I don't know how this is structured. It's obviously maybe structured a bit differently there. But really, was it, you know, the right call to not bring the Bitcoin ETF in? You know, it's a discussion. You know, it could be an interesting discussion even if we brought Jeff back on the show sometime. But do you think that was the right call? I mean, it's better, you know, if you get the ETF, at least, you know, right now, this Bitcoin trading is totally unregulated. It's, you know, off exchange, you know, there's multiple exchanges, you know, or multiple places to buy these Bitcoins there. You know, if you were to get onto a public exchange, at least to get some regulation behind it.
And the government can come and just shut this down, right, at any time if they chose to? I mean, is that
the government can shut anything down if they choose to,
yeah.
But I don't. You know, that's, you know, obviously not going to come out and shut Bitcoins down here, but are you talking about the trust? Like the trust?
No, not this. This is the actual Bitcoin. I think that
I can't see the government interfering with something like that. It's got like a $40 billion market cap here now of these Bitcoins, like Jeff was saying last week or wherever it was in the high 30s. And the government, they're not coming and shut this down. But
nope.
Do they need some regulation behind this? Absolutely. I think, you know, this is the Wild West of, you know, people opening accounts and trying to get in these things. The spreads are pretty crazy. You've got all these other, you know, cryptocurrencies out there now. They're opening one every week. That's where they need some regulation. It seems like there's a new cryptocurrency every day, and these things, you know, take off and they crash and they're all over the place. So, you know, it's you know, it's very speculative. We'll say that.
Yeah, at the least. We have a morning disaster here, AKTX. Some real bad news here, trading down 15% at 501. What's going on with AKTX?
Well, more of a disaster over the past couple of days. I guess this whole thing started a couple weeks ago when they released some data that turned out to be fake data that has since led to the CEO resigning. That happened yesterday after the bell. So they issued a release correcting the data and said the individuals involved with the first data release could be subject to government investigations. So I would say not great news.
Didn't the CEO resign or something?
Yeah, he's out. He's out as of yesterday. So,
I don't know. This is, you know, not a good story here. You can look in April and the stock twice hit up over $20 a share. Actually got $21.86 back in the middle of April, got up to $22. We're talking about a stock that's $5 here now. It's been beat up here. Lots of bad stuff happening. I don't know if I want, this is highly speculative. We'll say that.
Highly speculative at the least here. You got a pre-market low of $4 even on the nose. Popping up to $5 here, so getting a little bit of a bounce shorts eventually have to cover in order to get to the bottom of yesterday's range, 578. But looks like the street kind of was on to this a while ago here. Not much to say for shareholders that are stuck this thing. Daily volume is very low too, Dennis. traded 64,000 shares yesterday.
He's going to trade some stock, I'd imagine, today with this bad news here. But it was trading after hours actively around $4.90, $4.75. So giving back a little bit here this morning, $5. But there's no volume here. It's only 1,000 shares of trade here this morning. So not much interest in this one. Let's jump over to the other major earnings report from this morning. And that is Analog Devices. And that stock is blasting off into orbit. ADI up 5 points here right now. Spencer, you got the results from Analog Devices.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Vera Bradley, but Analog Devices ADI Q2 adjusted EPS $1.03 versus an 84-cent estimate, adjusted sales of $1.2 versus $1.1 billion. So a nice little Q2 there. As far as Q3 guidance goes, their sales are coming in higher than the estimate. $1.36 billion was the estimate. $1.37 to $1.45 is what they're saying their Q3 will be. And looking good there. EPS, same thing, higher than the estimate.
They were bidding the hell out of this yesterday during the day. They were bidding the hell out of it after hours. Who got the memo on this one, Joel? Because they bought it up yesterday ahead of the report. And after hours, it was trading up $2 after hours last night. And this was obviously ahead of this morning's report there. I was looking at it. I was like, man, you know, sometimes when something's trading up like $2, you're like, man, maybe you should short it. They're giving you like a 2-point lead here into the report. And then you're looking at all the action. You're thinking, maybe somebody knows something. So I think I'm backing off on this one. So anyways, ADI, whoever was buying it yesterday and after hours last night, being rewarded here this morning, the stock's up over 6%. Joel, you there? Joel fell asleep on me again.
85.17.
Narcolepsy kicking you.
That was the high from yesterday, all-time closing high, 84.80. Those numbers don't look like they're going to come into play today. We just hit 90.75 here. So looking for continuation through that pre-market high, 90.75 is a target. Of course, all the people that are on the 85, 86, 87, 88, 89 calls, and even the 90 calls here are a little bit in the money. But 90.75, that's your pre-market high. Only number we have that is over nearly $6 over its former all-time high. So a little bit chasing for me here on this one.
Ratings land here. We've got a few interesting ones. I want to go to VMware first of all, and I mistakenly said that I thought they were reporting this morning, but they're not. They're reporting actually Thursday night. So it looks like VMware, but we've got some action on them because Baird is upgrading the stock here ahead of the report. That's a gutsy call when you're upgrading ahead of a report. 98.01 is where it is bid here this morning. It's only traded 52 shares, but like I said, bid up at 98.01. Best offer is up at $100. I gotta think there's probably some stock kicking around the $100. I'm actually gonna go look at the book while Joel breaks down the technicals on VMW.
This is over a doubler since it bottomed in early 2016. Just been on a march. Has its little consolidations, then resuming its march. Trading above the range from yesterday, 97.78. Have to look at the psychological $100 level as a possible resistance point. We haven't been over $100 since August of 2014. That's when you topped out at 103.86. But using your half and whole numbers is always a good guide in a situation like this. But up on very, very light volume.
Also from ratings land, GoGo. That's your airline internet provider. And that stock is bit up here because we've got an outperform rating from, who was it, Raymond James, Spencer?
It's an initiation at outperform by Ray J.
RJ, initiating outperform on GoGo. Stock was trading up around 1280 last night when that ratings change came out. Still been up 1279 here this morning. What do you think? Can you get to 13 today?
It has to clear a double top that it has at 1294 from the 19th and 22nd. So above that, you got a little bit of resistance just in the 13 handle. Not a ton up to 1350, but important that you clear that double top. And wasn't there like a false rumor yesterday about laptops being banned on airplanes or something? Did you guys see that?
That's being talked about for international flights.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd want to be owning GoGo if that was.
Why are they going to ban laptops?
They're not going to. It's being discussed, and it's because of security concerns.
Wow. Could you imagine going on like a 10, 12 hour, you know, flight? And, well, I guess you've got your iPads and stuff if they don't ban those, but any regard here. That's when you need your laptop the most, is when you're on the 10 or 12 hour international flight.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, running out and starting a coverage of this. I mean, it's just I thought I'd read that they weren't considering it, that it was a rumor. But overall, this stock has just been a really poor performer here. Topped out at 35.77 here in late 2013, hit 7.80. So, you know, once again, if you're looking, you know, for long-term investments, probably better place to put your money than in GoGo.
Our stock, Potbelly, catching an upgrade to buy here at maximum, or at least initiation at buy at maximum. Stock is bid up here this morning, closed at $10.85, bid up at $11. Somebody's saying it's going over $11 here this morning. Best offer is way up at $14, so there's no market on this thing at all. It's been beat up here. Have you ate there lately? Remember your stories? Whenever we made a bet, me and Joel would go to Potbelly for lunch, and we haven't done that lately.
No, I did downgrade it last week. I talked to the Brenster. I went over there to get a chicken salad sandwich, and very little chicken salad on it.
Well, I'm upgrading it.
They're cutting the chicken?
I'm upgrading it because I had a great sandwich last week. So.
Oh, Spencer upgrades, Joel downgrades. We got a little analyst on the desk, the Benzinga analyst conflict here.
Consolidation after a big drop, and that was probably after earnings. You've had a seller lurking just under $11, several highs between 10.85 and 10.93. So, yeah, you clear it, you get into 11. You know, I still see some other tops there, but once again, I mean, looking at a longer-term chart, if, you know, an analyst is initiating coverage here, but man, oh man, just perhaps better places to put your money than in Potbelly's. And even though a lot of these other restaurant stocks have done extremely well, not the same case for Potbelly.
No. iRobot, that's another one I wanted to say. Canaccord is downgrading the stock here. This is a stock we don't talk a lot about on the show. IRBT has been absolutely on an incredible run. It got hit in February all the way down to $52. And since February, the stock has basically doubled. Yesterday, almost, and I'm telling you, almost getting to $100, $99.98. Don't tell me those big psychological levels don't matter, because that one did for sure. $100, close at $99.82. You think you're going to running start, but then a downgrade comes out at it. So I think I might have trouble there getting there today to the big $100 level. Trade down $1.55 in the pre-market. iRobot.
All right. You did hit $99.82 yesterday. Close right near the high of the session. I mean, I don't know how much people are going to hit this. Yesterday's low is way down at 96.07. Maybe keep an eye on 97.14. That was your close on Friday. And if you get any kind of rally back up to that $100 level, we'll see what happens and see if anybody's really paying attention to this downgrade. But if you're looking at your two-day low, your two-day low is down way down at 94.09. So a lot of air underneath here. I just don't know how much people are going to be hopping on this issue because of the downgrade.
They're talking GWPH in the chat. We haven't talked GWPH for a while, but the stock has actually been quietly hit for the last 3 months. Got up to 136 back in March. Now it's trading around $100. Again, big psychological levels there. Sometimes we know these stocks stop at those levels. It already bounced off here once, though. Now it's back down here again. Needs to hold $100. That's what the level it needs to hold, because it's psychological, and you take those out, more sellers will probably emerge. But if it can hold $100, some hope here. But the stock's beat up lately, Joel.
Yeah, 100 is the level, just a quiet leak off that. Well, you just missed the all-time high. You had 137.88 print in September of last year, and then you got right up near that area. Now you're coming back down. 100 is a big level. Hit it a couple times in the last few weeks. I just don't like it under 100 here, and you need news. You need some good news on this. You know, what's their their drug? I forget.
Epidiolex.
So, I mean, drug news moves this things here. Support not really holding up. Looks like we're going to breach that $100 level today.
Jumping back over
What about Vera Bradley? They had earnings.
Oh, we missed that one. So let's give VRA some love here. What do you got? What do you got for numbers, VRA?
I mentioned it and you ignored me. They had Q1 EPS 9-cent loss versus a 13-cent loss estimate. Sales of 96.1 million versus 96.6 million on the estimate. So they missed I'm sorry, they beat on the EPS, but they missed on the sales a little bit. They see Q2 sales guidance coming in line with the estimate EPS guidance, a little bit light, and then the fiscal year guidance is in line for both EPS and sales.
Slightly down the pre-market, a lot of odd lots trade down $8.10, already bid at $8.20, offered at $8.50. So I think the lows there from the, you know, just looking last week when we got down to the 7.70 area, you had 3-4 lows right in that area. I think that level's safe, but, you know, funny things happen on earnings. That's a big level, though. If it starts to really go into sell-off, I think 7.70 is the level I'd be watching.
Dennis, you nailed the support in here, the resistance from yesterday. A little bit of cover on the close, 852 high, 850 close. So we'll be keeping an eye on that level. And don't get too psyched out if it trades above there, because you had another high at 860. Just another stock, just horrible performer here. When did this thing peak out? Peaked in 2011 at over $50. So once again, horrible relative performance, and the earnings is not doing anything to really get it off the mat.
RCA saying Deutsche Bank reiterated their sell on GE.
Yeah,
I didn't see
wow.
that, but I mean, Deutsche Bank just said that. That just came out last week. Now they're reiterating it. So maybe they're restating their point here once again. Pound on the table. The stock didn't go down enough on us. We're saying, hey, did you hear us, market, last week? We did say GE potential dividend cut. We're still got our sell rating on it.
Yeah, can you believe this chart, Dennis, of General
Electric? It's ugly. GE has not been a pretty chart. I own this in my invest portfolio. I've had this one, like I said. This is one of the first stocks that I ever bought in my investment portfolio. Way back in like 1999 or 2000, I think it is. And I'm averaging right around $30 or something. It's one that's funny. You know, you talk about all these stocks and you think, you know, 17 years ago, you must be up a lot of money in that. Actually, believe it or not, the all-time high in General Electric, I believe in the 2000, where is it, Joel? It was like $60. Wasn't it?
60-50. That's nice.
Yeah. We're still, here we are 17 years later, and we're still over 50% off the all-time high from General Electric.
Yeah. What division is dragging them down? I mean, they kind of got rid of the, out of the financing arm and stuff. I would like to see, you know, where's the big cash drain here? But Deutsche Bank really trying to get this. They walked this thing down. It's really moving the stock with these with these reiterations of the dividend cut. I mean, I guess the play would be when they actually do cut the dividend, get that panic low then, but I don't know.
Have you ever seen that? Estraza is confirming that they did say it again today. Have you ever seen that? Like, it was like last week, wasn't it? Wasn't it last week or maybe the week before? Like, within the last 7 or 8 trading sessions, that Deutsche Bank came out with that, with that cut to sell, saying that they might have to cut the dividend. And then a week later, they reiterate it that fast? Have you ever seen them reiterate their rating that fast? It's like they were, ticked off that the market bounced the stock back. They're like, hey, remember what we said?
I don't know. Jeff Immelt came out on May 12th and said that he's just not, they're not cutting it. He talked about doubling purchases from Mexico suppliers in 2018. They've won some contracts here, we've had some other news in it, but just a major sell-off here, and now trying to get down to another whole number. Now, if it doesn't go bad on this, this is kind of like the reiteration of bad news, as you said. Maybe you'll find a buying opportunity in here, but 20, it's traded down a penny on this. The low of the move is 27.10, hit 27.16 yesterday here, so... Man, I don't know. One of the top. This could fall out of the top 10 components in the S&P.
Where is it?
Well,
on the top 10 list.
Yeah. Well, you see, I throw Google in there, so now I have 11.
Yeah. Well, obviously Google should be in there. You got to put them together. It's where is top 10 list?
It's number 10.
It's
number
right at the
11.
Bottom here now.
Yeah.
At one time, wasn't GE the most valuable company in the world? Like, I think back in the financial crisis, or like back in the year 2000, was hitting $60 a share. Wasn't it the most valuable company in the world?
Yep. Yep.
I'm pretty sure it was.
And then ExxonMobil was it for a while.
Well, Microsoft was there once, and so obviously so was Cisco was there way back in the day. I remember Cisco being up over $600 billion market cap. So it's changed a few times. I mean, Apple's been leading the way here for a while now, but it's been a long time. How long has it been since Apple hasn't been the number one market cap?
It's been a couple years. It had,
it had that little lull where it's sold off a bit.
Right.
Who passed it during that lull?
I think ExxonMobil was hanging
was
in there. I think it was, but now, Dennis, the top five stocks, and who would have thunk it? Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Facebook, all tech, leading the S&P 500.
And do you see, let's talk about all those stocks. I mean, Amazon obviously at the $1,000. Woo, bring out your Amazon 1,000 party hats. And actually, it's over 1,000 again here this morning. Google's within striking distance. GOGL is trading right now in the pre-market. We just ticked up to 998.71. So best offer's up at 99960. So it's close to the $1,000. I mean, impressive moves here. And you know the one that's just so impressive too is Tesla. I mean, obviously, Jason Raznick, founder Benzinga here, has had this one right the whole time. We got to give him big props because this continues just to march. I mean, it made a new all-time high again here this morning. It's 337.20. Tesla's been a monster.
And what was it last week, Spencer, that Gene Munster came out and said that he calling it the next Amazon, right?
Was he that... did say that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, he did. So... he's behind it. It'd be fun to see what he is, what his thesis is on that.
Let's get into some questions in the chat, and we'll get to more after after Phil at 8:35. But let's go with Nielsen. Downward Dog wants to know about NLSN. Nielsen, of course, the broadcast data provider. I guess how else would you describe them?
Jeez, I don't know what to tell you about this Downward Dog. I mean.
Trend is not your friend.
No, I mean it. Look, you know, you got that 37.95 low, then you're knocking on the door of 39 here. Two highs over the last three sessions here. Let's see, NLSN. Let me give you those exact numbers. Do they track everything, or is it just the TV? Do they do TV, radio?
They do TV, radio. They're going to have to adjust, obviously. They don't,
yeah,
they,
they're right there. That's their problem.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Different medians. I mean, do they – is pre-market prep part of it? Do they rate pre-market prep on
I should find out if we're rated.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of been passing by here. Really needs to close and get above 39.13. That was your high from yesterday, so it's not. It is trading above there, so little room up to 39.5. You surely don't want to be in this thing if it takes out the low of the move at 37.95.
Estraz is pounding the table. He wants to hear you say the name of BWA, Joel.
Why? Borg Warner?
That's how I say it, too. I think you say it okay, actually. Maybe we're saying it wrong. BWA, I think you did a good job saying it. Spencer, how would you say Borg Warner? Borg Warner.
Yeah, that's how I would say it.
BWA, isn't that a Michigan company?
You would know, wouldn't you?
You know all the Michigan companies. If you're saying it's Michigan, I'd go with it. But
BorgWarner is a, yeah, Auburn Hills. Good job, Joel.
All right.
Joel knows his local companies. Good day yesterday.
Yeah, kind of going different with some of the auto other auto suppliers. Hit a nice level yesterday in the 42 handle. Man, this thing is knocking on the door of an all-time high. I'm not sure if we had any news. No, it's not all-time high. I take that back. High of the move. We had maybe that was on earnings that it got up to 43.39, but two tops right at 42.40, and what was your high a few days ago? Right above that 42.50, so has some room here. This thing kind of has pretty good ranges for a $40 stock.
It moves. It's a little bit of a wild child sometime. You know, Estraz is saying, you know, obviously a lot of automotives were strong yesterday. We had the big Barron's article with Ford. I just missed the General Motors purchase. I was trying to buy General Motors off the hop just because of, you know, I thought there might be a sympathy move with Ford. I put my opening order, I think, at 33.07 and opened at 30 or 33.04, I think it was. And I think it opened like 33.05. I like missed it by a penny. And I brought it up, and I didn't even notice like half an hour later. And I was like, sometimes I relook at my OPGs, my opening orders, and see, you know, where I was close with some stuff. And I was like, and I look at General Motors trading up 50 cents. I was like, oh, I just missed it by a penny. But, you know, that's what it gets you sometimes. Sometimes it's a little better to be a little more aggressive with your pricing of your orders just so you don't miss the opening print.
Put in a hard bottom here at 32, had the bad news that really was equating them to the Volkswagen scandal. I believe the company denied it. Now you're back on the recovery. Major resistance just above the whole number of 34. Double top, backed up by 34.15, backed up by a 34.23 high. So, Spencer, 8.34, you want to bring in our first and only guest of the day.
Yep, let's bring on Phil Davis, founder of Phil Stock World. He's going to tell us what he's doing with his money. Is he in cash? Is he in the market? Is he in commodities? We're going to find out in a moment from Phil Davis.
Phil's World.
All right, welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. We're on the line with Phil Davis, founder of Phil Stock World. Phil, how's it going today?
Oh, good, thank you. How are you guys?
We are doing well, doing well. So tell us about your positioning. I don't remember the last time we had you on, but I was reading some of your blog posts on your site. Are you mostly in cash these days, or are you mostly in stocks? Where are you positioned?
We have a lot of long positions that are leveraged, so we don't use a lot of cash in our long positions because we trade options. So we'll do like a bull call spread that doesn't use a lot of cash. But if the market keeps ramping up, we'll still have a nice upside. But we have a lot of cash, like 80% cash on the side. We've been messing around playing with the futures just to amuse ourselves. We are picking up some bargain stocks along the way, like things that get really cheap for us. But on the whole, we want to stay flexible because we don't know when this party's going to stop, you know, but one day it will.
So I guess go a little further into that thinking. What makes you so bearish in that regard?
Well, you know, look, I don't want to say I'm so bearish, but it's physics, basically. There's a certain point at which you have diminishing returns. So in other words, first of all, the reason the market is so hot right now is because money has nowhere else to go. Bonds don't pay you anything. Banks don't pay you anything. Real estate is still too scary for people. So there's not a lot of choices of where to put your money. And there is inflation, and we're not in a no inflation environment. So sticking it under your mattress doesn't do you any good because it gets chewed up by inflation. So you have to put your money into something that's moving, and the only thing that's reliably going up is the stock market at the moment. So people are just choosing to take that risk rather than risk, you know, putting it into something that's not going to keep up with inflation. As you have more people being employed, you've got the 401k money and the IRA money. That's called the dumb money, by the way, pouring into the market. And you don't realize it because, you know, you look at Amazon and say, what idiot's buying Amazon for $1,000 a share? Or who's buying Tesla for $335? It's you. If you have an IRA or a 401k and you have any NASDAQ index fund, you're the one buying it. Every day, no matter what the price is, you buy more of it because it comes out of your paycheck.
Well, this is
so
a great point.
That's going to stop at some point. It just becomes more and more expensive to keep buying it.
This is a great point you're making here, and there's so many funds that are all invested in the same companies, and that's why maybe we just continue to see, you know, Tesla rise and Google rise and Amazon rise. You know, and Apple's part of that, bandwagon there now. Everybody's obviously, the funds are all buying this too. What changes, though? Like, so, you know, obviously you're saying you're going 80% cash, so you're saying eventually this party's going to end. How does the party end? That's my question. Because, you know, obviously you could have said this even last year and the bubble's just gotten bigger here. I agree with you, all parties end eventually, but why wouldn't, you know, the time be soon for this party to end?
You know, it's like any party. You don't know when it's going to end, but you can tell when it's kind of out of control.
Phil's out of control
and
now.
And whether it stops because somebody throws up in the middle of the floor, or whether it stops because the police come, or whether it stops because somebody falls on top of the music player, for some reason that party is going to end catastrophically at some point. You know, you can kind of tell. You get that feeling when you're in one of those parties. And it's like that. It's like you don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of like Ghostbusters. It's like you have to choose the form of the destructor. You don't know what's going to destroy this market. But it could be, you know, we could be at war with North Korea tomorrow. You know, there's something could happen like that. Trump just pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. That's going to have massive repercussions. The entire global community is going to turn against us. And who knows what kind of sanctions they're going to put down on us for being the world's worst polluter. You know, there's so many things going on that are iffy that any one of them, the market could suddenly wake up and go, ooh, that's not as good as I thought. Not to mention earnings, by the way. Because last year, Q1 was terrible. Terrible earnings last year in Q1. So the comps to last year's Q1 were very, very easy comps. Now we move into Q2. The comps are not so easy anymore, and the companies have to actually show that they can really earn some money. That's going to be tricky.
Phil, you talk your 80% cash. So you've got 20% of your money in something here right now. What's your 20%? And talk about some of those bargain stocks you mentioned off the bat.
Oh, bargain stocks. Okay, I'll tell you a couple that are really good.
Oh, yeah.
We have there's Frontier Communications, insanely cheap, FTR. They're a telephone company. They just bought a whole bunch of – they just bought California, Texas, and Florida from Verizon. They bought basically all their customers. But they're being traded like they're going bankrupt because they just spent $8.5 billion to double their customer base. But they knew they were doing that. It was a plan. It wasn't like an accident that they went $8.5 billion into debt. They said, oh, we're going to go $8.5 billion worth into debt, and we can afford to do that because we have this and that cash flow. They used to pay an incredibly ridiculous dividend of like 15-20%. They've cut it now to just 10%. People freaked out about the fact they cut their dividend and pulled out of it. So for $1.33, you don't even need options on this stock. It's just a great little stock to have and collect those dividend checks over time. That's one I like a lot. Chicago Bridge and Iron, CBI, that's another really good one. They're very cheap because Trump's infrastructure plans seem to have fallen apart, and everyone was counting on that. So now they're being priced down tremendously. They had some order flow issues in Q1. And we think they're transient. We think they'll come back in Q2 and have a much better report. And I think that once people see that, they'll mellow out about the company. It is ridiculously low price right now. Chicago Bridge and Iron is under $19, which gives them a market cap of less than $2 billion. And last year they had $10 billion in sales, and they lost $200 million. But a couple of years ago they had $12 billion in sales and made $500 million. $500 million is one quarter of their market cap in 1 year. If they have a better year, they can have a PE of 4 in no time.
And we're out of the chat here. We have someone asking about Cisco. Got hit after its last earnings report, kind of crawling back. Any thoughts on Cisco Systems?
I like Cisco. I mean, it's an Internet of Things company, and it drives so much of the infrastructure of the Internet that it's kind of hard to imagine anything particularly bad happening to them. Also, if you look at a chart, they fell down to their 200-day moving average, which is basically just a healthy correction of $31.68. So I like them here. They're something that we put on our watch list. What we like is to see something go 10% below the 200-day moving average before we buy it. You know, we like to see stocks that really get beaten up, and then we like to jump in and pick them up. we're cheapskate value investors. That's what we are.
Phil, are you active in commodities at all? Making any trades in oil?
We trade oil all the time because we play the futures. We love trading oil in the futures and gasoline and stuff like that. Right now, in fact, just this morning, I just put up a post saying that we're buying gasoline at the 160 line. We're positive on gasoline, and at the 48.50 line, we're positive on oil on the futures. And there you'd have USO, which is probably $10 as an alternate to trade. And what's the other one? UGA. Wait, USO is. Oh, sorry, that was USA. USO is $10.05, and UGA is the gasoline ETF, and that's $25.36. But, of course, you know, we play options on it. We'll play a spread or something like that to enhance our returns.
What about a stock that's near and dear to us here in the Motor City? Ford Motors.
We own Ford. Ford is one of the few stocks we don't buy a lot of stocks. We mostly buy option spreads and things like that. But Ford pays such a lovely dividend, and they're such a good company at $11. Great bargain. And you know what? Here I want to talk about the options. It's important for people to know that. I don't know if you guys talk about options a lot, but you know, when you buy Ford, instead of buying the stock, you can just sell the 2019 $12 puts for $2.25.
Yep.
And that nets you in. And so the dividend on Ford, because most people are going to buy Ford, they want to collect the dividend. The dividend Ford pays is only $1. I'm sorry, it's not $1 a year. It's 15 cents, 60 cents a year. So they pay 60 cents a year in dividends. But if you sell the puts that are less than 2 years out, the 2019 January puts, you sell those for $2.25. That's like collecting 4 years of dividend. You get it right in your pocket right now. You don't have to lay out the money for the stock. And your worst case is the stock is assigned to you at $12, but your net, because you collected $2.25, is only $9.75. So you're buying the stock in the worst case at a more than 10% discount. And in a better case, the stock goes up and you get $2.25 for doing nothing.
Right.
And we love that as an entry.
Yeah, those are heavy positions because you have to have the margin to actually buy the stock that. But definitely a position that Ford is hanging in here at 11. I hope it goes to 11.60 soon so I can get a lunch from Dennis. But we talked earlier about the financials here. And, if you look at utilities, the XLU hit a new time high yesterday. The market seems to be bucking the idea that interest rates are going up here. Looking at the stocks of like JP Morgan, Bank of America, I mean, these aren't healthy looking charts. Any comments on the financials?
We are short on the financials, actually. What we've done is we have a short position on FAS, which is the ultra long, on the financials. We actually sold calls. It's an aggressive short on FAS. They're priced to perfection. They're priced for everything going fantastically and Trump's tax cuts going through and healthcare being abolished and so on and so forth. They're priced for all this wonderful stuff that makes Republicans so happy. And it's not all going to happen. And as soon as one of them doesn't happen, they're going to get upset. When two of them don't happen, they're going to get more upset. And also, if you look at the actual way they're making money, these banks, they're making money. They're not getting transaction money. They're getting M&A money and stuff like that. And the M&A is sort of a late stage rally kind of thing. You know, if you remember back in 2007, there was a ton of M&A activity that was really holding the whole market up for a while. And then that fell. Then when that dried up, everything collapsed. You know, that's really what's going on now. All this M&A activity is dropping a lot of cash into the bank's portfolios, but the actual business of banking is not good for them right now.
We've been on the line with Phil Davis, founder of Phil's Stock World. Phil, thanks so much for hopping on today. We will talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
8:48 now. Are there any stocks in the chat that we've missed? If there are, I see Downward Dog CSCO. I don't think we got that one. There may be a few others. So let's go grab a couple of these stocks from the chat. Let's start with CSCO.
Phil did just briefly cover Cisco. We didn't give our thoughts on it there. I mean, the stock got hit hard off earnings. It's been climbing back. I mean, it's a stock that, you know, seems to climb back. I always say the one that climbs back all the time, you know, and obviously not the same company, but in the tech sector is Oracle. Seems like Oracle always gets hit on their earnings and always bounces back by the next quarter there. Not sure if Cisco's going to do the same thing, but we're only, here we are only about days after a disappointing report, and we've already got back a third of the losses here. If this thing could get above 32, starts to fill the gap and then starts to get interesting. Hard to bet against it here, though. If it gets above 32.
Excellent point, and you really like to watch those price action on earnings day. Really whoop the thing down to 30-50, just under that. Had some lows back at the beginning of the year there. Held on, and then buyers have been chasing up. Dennis, I have to agree with you here. On the upside, clearing $32, that's been the highest level since we made that earnings low. And then you got a big gap. I don't think it's going to be going there anytime soon. I know that... I remember Nick talking to him about this. He did go out with the calls, but I remember on that big down day, he just kind of closed his eyes and sold some puts. So don't necessarily need it to go up that much, just not go down, and that's working well here in Cisco Systems. Twitter, Dennis, Twitter, 18. That was the level to pull the trigger. We
held.
Yep.
So, and we were saying, you know, this 18 was big. It did dip below it, but it actually is looking a little bit better on the chart. It's funny, you know, we got a couple of people talking about it. Jar in the chat was just talking about it. Also, Jamie over at Bright is talking about it as well, just saying that it's starting to look interesting that it held that 18. It was a good day for it yesterday there. Get above yesterday's high, you know, you start to think about 19. Get above 19, you start to think about 20. The stock chart's looking better again.
Yeah, and we had those formations. I remember you were talking about a possible swing trade there, and what's nice about it is, you know, if you went at that $18 level, you had 1, 2, 3, 4 lows between 1783 and 1798. Often that's a sign of institutions or a bunch of institutions accumulating the stock. You just could have, you know, ran out of sellers here, because I noticed when it got under 18 that it had one of its lowest volume days. It was actually under 100 million. 1872, that was the high from yesterday. Got over 19, got to 1978 after the earnings. So a nice recoup here for Twitter. Not doing seed flat in the pre-market, but I do like it. Over 1872, so you get back in to the $19 handle.
ADI continues to climb now, up over 90 bucks, trading at 90.75. It's been a monster here all day. Sometimes you see these stocks just continue to run. It's like the gap and go we talk about there. So far, ADI is fitting that bill here, so keep an eye on that one. A couple of stocks going to report tonight. Palo Alto Networks, PANW, is on my schedule there. And that stock is trading up in the pre-market about 70 cents. Stock got murdered last report. We know it went from 150 bucks down to $120. It's just been hanging out here. It got under 110. It's climbing back. It's right around that 20 level here. What are you seeing setting up here for PANW ahead of tonight's report?
Oh, man. I mean, reports, you're flipping the coin here on it anyways, but the nice pop there was off the ransomware virus, and here we are, sold off hard to the 112 handle, kind of in the middle. Really needs to get back into that 120 handle. I see a couple highs in 119.20 and 119.50. So I don't know, just not a real fluid stock here. Obviously, we'll make a big move off the report. And weren't we talking about the on the pre-market show? Were we talking about the hack ETF? That is that's certainly held up better than some of these individual stocks. I'm not sure what the components are in it. That also had to spike on the day of the ransomware virus, got up to 31. But that's certainly a lot better looking chart than some of these individual ones.
Good ticker symbol there too. Larry in the chat wants to know about EXAS. He says it's surging here, and it is today. This was a Citron call, wasn't it, that they were bearish on this one?
Yeah, yep.
And
time.
Then
Citron short with a $20 price target.
Yeah, okay, so they're short with a $20 price target. But the news that came out yesterday was something involved with UNH. What was the news from yesterday that's driving this?
This is not confirmed. It's just a report that UNH has added EXAS as a ColoGuard test to their coverage universe. We reached out to them. They didn't confirm that, but that's the report out there, which would obviously speak to the legitimacy of the test.
But then Benzinga also reached out to Andrew Left of Citron, and what did he have to say?
He just continued, you know, it's not a question of whether this test gets covered by insurance. The point he's making now is that it's just not worth the cost you'd have to pay for it. The test is not worth the cost.
Stock flying here. So, you know, Citron usually gets them right. They've had this one wrong here, though, obviously, as the stocks continue to climb. Sounds like Left is still defending his position here. But, wow, stock booming up another 9% here this morning. That is challenging. The high from last month, or actually earlier this month, when it got up to 36.14. Joel, technically speaking.
That's it. That's the only number. One and only number. Pre-market high. You just did get a little bump above 36 here in pre-market trading. You actually got to 36.35, but had back down one number only. I'll mention that again. 36.14. That was your high on May 8th before Mr. Left got involved with it. Trading up here, man, on a little bit of volume here.
It was trading last night fairly actively too, though. I think you're going to see some pretty good volume here in EXAS.
Yeah, Spinner 212 is mentioning Andrew's last few calls here. kind of getting taking some heat on the Wayfair here. That thing is right back up at the all-time highs. Look at that. Major resistance in the under 66, all-time high 65.80. So clear that seller out and get it going. FLT, another one that he mentioned in a negative light. Now, that one got hit, but that's bounced back. Double top just under 147.50. And now EXAS, but he's made enough good calls. He could definitely have a
never going to get them all right.
Correct. Especially, you know, short seller in this kind of market is a tough.
That's a good point, too.
Yep. Tough market environment. Dennis, Groupon, GRPN. When is the last time we mentioned Groupon on the show?
It's been a while, and it's been leaking here and drifting down. It seems like every time it gets down in the lower threes, though, it finds buyers here again. I know, you know, it hasn't been one of the best performers, but go out to the monthly charts and check it out. Every time it gets down to $3, it seems to get a little bit of a lift, and we're getting down to that area there again. So I think you're coming in here short, and you might be a little late to the party because obviously the stock popped up big time last year. So I don't know. I don't mind it down here at the three level. Obviously, you know, there might be some short interest there as well, which could squeeze too. Not sure I'm jumping in here with two hands, but as a speculative buy off three, could be good. Just make sure you know where your out is.
It did get some nice bumps off of potential buyout by Alibaba. That was the news that moved it quite a while ago. That hasn't come to fruition, so back at support here. Let's see if it can hold that $3 level. A lot of volume hasn't moved much in the last few days.
Let's check out the imbalances here. There's a few interesting ones. Follow through from yesterday. We had a big sell imbalance of Coke. It opened up near the lows yesterday, so it actually worked well to be buying into that imbalance. We're seeing that set up here again today. KO has got 90,000 shares to sell. It's trading down the pre-market due to that sell imbalance. I'm also seeing a big sell imbalance in Bank America here. 198,000 to sell. Bank America is also ex-dividend today. It'll tell you the close, 22.91. The adjusted close is 22.83.5 because of the 7.5 cents that they paid here. So actually it's trading above there right now, which is interesting with a sell imbalance of 198,000 shares. Citigroup, 46,000 to sell. JP Morgan, 47,000 to sell. Those are all interesting because they're actually all trading pre-market higher. So one of two things is going to happen. Either those sell imbalances are going to flip to buy or the stocks are going to start to come back in. Before the open, Alibaba 51,000 to sell. Baba still, you know, holding up well. Twitter 29,000 to sell. We just talked about that. So somebody looking to take a little bit of profits maybe here this morning. Ford follow through from yesterday. Maybe 258,000 shares to buy in Ford. That's a big buy and balance for Ford here this morning. It is trading up another 4 cents.
All right, ARB and INV, ARB M, listening in his car here. The trade on the four puts was the January 19. They were trading at 220. I think that's what he said. So the 12 put 220 actually has you projected down to 980, and that's definitely a much better yield than you would buying the stock and paying the dividend. But remember, you know, when you're selling those puts, you have to be able to.
That was Phil's call. That was Phil's call. Trade, right?
Yep. Yep. You have to be able to have the cash. So it's a way to play the stock. And we definitely have Nick Shaheen, other people that are interested in playing options. But that is, you're going out to Jan 19th. You're selling the puts, bringing in the premium. And the way that thing moved, man, if it gets under $10, boy, oh, boy. We're going to be in a world of trouble here. Larry has his sleeper of the year, and that's NOK. And, boy, that thing, I saw it get some pop on some news. I can't remember. So now it's kind of leaked. This is an ADR. It actually made the high when that news was out. Maybe I'd get interested if it could come back down and fill the gap. I mean, but this is an ADR, so the price isn't really reflected. But nice move up from 520 to 660. Now it's just taking a little bit of a breather. 8.59 here, Spencer. S&P's up 5 at 24.15.75. All-time high just above at 24.17.75. You want to wrap up today's show and preview tomorrow?
On tomorrow's show, we've got Nate Tobik. He is the author of CompleteBankData.com. He offers some pretty data sets with regards to banks, usually the small and mid-sized banks, not so much the big players that I can remember, but he has some great insights on the whole financial sector, so it'll be great to talk to Nate on the show tomorrow. As for today's show, you can catch the whole thing again on our podcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, you can replay the whole show. Right now, it's on YouTube. Just go to Benzinga TV's YouTube channel. It's Benzinga TV. That's our show for the day. Please remember that all the information, material, and content is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investment advice. Have a good rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you folk tomorrow.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.